11 minutes after 4 o'clock, in conversation next with NJ Ayuk, Executive Chairman of the African Energy Chamber. So the African Energy Chamber, the AEC, has launched the State of South African Energy Special Report, which also provides possible solutions as to how South Africa can address the ongoing power crisis. The report suggests that solar and wind will continue to contribute to the majority of the capacity in 2023 and beyond. It also affirms that coal remains a predominant source of energy in the country. NJ, good afternoon, and thank you for making time for us. Is it that solar will dominate, or that solar will increase over a period of years? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me. It is that solar will increase. Coal is going to see a decline, but coal is going to continue to be the dominant part of the South African energy system. We have seen right now, when we look at huge data on the decrease in consumption of coal in South Africa, because we want to do a transition and want to phase out and we want to decommission coal plants. We've seen how we've ended up with 10 hours of load shedding per day. Gas was actually something that we realized in our report that is going to be that transition fuel, massive gas. If you look across Africa, gas was always found and exported outside. But now South Africa is actually a unique point with domestic gas from companies like Renergen and Kinetico, where they come from the coal bed around Mpumalanga. They could use that South African natural gas to power South Africa. It's a clean transition fuel, and that is where we're seeing. But there is no question, investments in renewables will continue to come in, and it will continue to increase. But you do need base load energy, and that base load energy is going to come from natural gas and coal for South Africa.
And when I look at the report as well, indicating that, for instance, if we look as far as 2045, rather, is that gas would be at around 15% of our energy mix, and coal would be at around 25% of our energy mix. But the conundrum, I think, for South Africa as well, is that while there are attempts by certain companies to explore gas in the country and off the coastlines of South Africa, there's also the opposition of it that's coming from the people in the green space.
Absolutely. You've seen there has been huge, huge opposition to exploring for natural gas in South Africa, which I think is a big, big mistake. You know, let's take, for example, the Orange Basin. 80% of the Orange Basin is in South Africa. 20% is in Namibia. You know what's happened in Namibia over the last year? The biggest oil and gas discovery in the world. Before you had 11 billion barrels in Brazil, you have 13 billion barrels discovered by Total Energy right at the border outside South Africa in Namibia. Shell, possibly about 5 billion barrels in discovery of oil and natural gas right outside the borders of South Africa. But 80% of that is in South Africa, and you cannot even touch it because of environmental groups. So while we are the same companies that cannot do work in South Africa, they are doing it in Namibia, and potentially Namibia would be supplying South Africa electricity in the near future. Zimbabwe did not happen in a day. It happened in front of our eyes in slow motion, and we go in there if we don't pay attention to this issue.
Then how do you strike the balance with the concerns that are raised by the environmentalists, but also the developmental goals of the country? Because on the other end as well, we see right now that Russia, for instance, is looking for new markets that it can sell its gas to.
Absolutely. But why buy gas from Russia when you have gas in South Africa? Mama always said, if you're selling, you're going to be rich. If you're buying, you're going to be broke. South Africa cannot be a broke country. This is Africa's most industrialized country. So let's stop and think for a minute. Energy security of a country is very important for its economy and its people. And we are seeing a state of disaster right now where we find ourselves. The United States of America, 8 days ago, just approved an $8 billion drilling program against the request of environmentalists because it has to take off its energy security. Norway approved 50 oil licenses and gas licenses because of their energy security. The United Kingdom opened the first coal mine in 30 years this year. Germany opened new coal-fired plants to take care of its energy security. So it's a little bit unfortunate to say South Africa should continue to stay in the dark. You cannot breathe clean air in the dark, and we don't want to breathe clean air in the dark. It's really important that you get energy in South Africa. It is unfair to a country, to Africa's most industrialized country, that people, environmentalists will say they should stay in the dark and breathe clean air. And but it's not, it's it, but we, without that, you see how jobs and everything. And with climate concerns, South Africa's greenhouse gas emissions, it's 1%. 1%. Europe is at 22. The United States is at 24. China is 29. Why is the pressure on South Africa to decarbonize? What are you decarbonizing? It's like you're telling the anorexic kid in school to lose weight while the fat kids keep eating.
Okay, then you've dealt with the issue around the baseload. We've seen the South African government's intervention. For instance, we now have, we will be introducing a policy around the tax rebates, at least for households, when it comes to households that can afford to buy solar panels and so forth. But one of the concerns that we've had in discussion that we had amongst the team as well is that when we have so many solar panels being rolled out and being put on roofs and so forth, what about the waste management of those solar panels?
And that's a big concern that we still see in our energy data and our reports. Let's look at it this way. You need 100 megawatts of solar capacity to produce 35 megawatts of energy. And you know where you have the biggest solar and wind farms in the world? It's in the state of Texas, one of the largest gas and oil producers in the world. And a year and a half ago, we all know what happened when the solar power, when the wind farms went around. We can't rely on wind and solar. They're unpredictable. There is a reason why South Africa became Africa's manufacturing powerhouse. Base load, coal and natural gas. The waste around solar panels is something that you have to look at, but also the expense around it. You're not going to have government paying people to have solar panels. That is not good for a market-driven economy and everything. And not everybody can have those solar panels in their house. You do not just need electricity to light up and charge your cell phone. You need electricity to run a small business so you can create jobs in communities. You can create jobs in rural communities. Mm-hmm. And that is really important when people look at this energy issue. It's not just to say, I have a flashlight to go around. We need light, we need power to run manufacturing. Around SADC, 300 million people are relying on products coming around South Africa. If you lose that competitive manufacturing edge, you lost so much jobs and you lost opportunities that will be taken by European exporters and Chinese exporters, and South Africa loses a big SADC market share. And that is what is happening right now with this state of disaster without energy, because you cannot meet products out there and even around Africa with the Africa Continental Free Trade Act. And that is it. It has a ripple effect on the economy. Mm. So this idea that South Africa has to stay energy poor is something that we at the chamber find it ridiculous. South Africa has to get right back in its feet, because when South Africa wins, Africa wins. And when Africa wins, the world is winning.
What about the cost of electricity? Your report indicates that the cost of electricity has ballooned by 460% since 2007. If we were to explore all of these options and recommendations that you have, would that also lead to a decrease or at least a plateau of the cost of electricity?
It would lead to a decrease because you'll be using one of the cheapest forms. You need to engage in carbon capture, which you capture CO2 emissions so that you don't engage in more pollution. But then you need to move into cleaner sources of fossil fuels like natural gas, which is cleaner, cheaper, and abundant. You will see costs drop by another 50%. And then you need to bring in renewables, but not just flooding the place with solar panels that don't work. You need to bring in the kind of renewables that will give you base load and work on those technologies for intermittence that deal with the intermittent nature of it and still invest in research and development. Then you get another 25% reduction. If we are going to succeed, we need to reduce the cost. Right now, on this reckless march towards solar and wind, what is going to happen is that cost is going to skyrocket for the middle class, the working class, and the poor will just be put out of the electricity market. And that's unfair. You are going to need $99 billion to meet your energy transition needs over the next 10 years. You are receiving $8 billion in aid money, and that $8 billion in aid money is really going to destroy the economy because you're going to have to abandon coal, natural gas, oil, to only focus on solar and wind, while the person giving you that aid money is going to be building more coal, oil, and natural gas, and we are going to be importing. South Africa needs to be energy sufficient. We advocate an all of the above energy. It's an energy mix. Mm-hmm. And when you have a South African dominance, energy dominance with domestic production, that's how this country survived and that's how its economy became very strong. We need to get back to it and build back stronger.
Thank you so much for your time. NJ Ayuk is the executive chairman of the African Energy Chamber. 0614-104107. Your tweets at Alderan St. Pierre, and our studio line is 086-000-2032.